Thank you so much. Amen. Let me just put this on. Amen.
That works.
Amen. Yes.
I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, that's wonderful if you know what the name of Jesus means. The Bible says, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins."
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's what He came to do, to save people from their sins. And you know what? He did His job.
Yeah, He did.
So we can know we are saved from our sins.
Amen.
We are set free. Hallelujah. We can walk with no consciousness of sin. You know, my definition for truth is no consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of Jesus.
Amen.
Because that is worshipping God in truth. The truth about my life is that I don't have to be conscious of sin. The Bible says that true worshippers, once purged, have no more consciousness of sin.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, I've been in the message of grace since 1995, and God used Ed Elliott and introduced me into this message. And you know, how does it feel to have for more than 10 years never think that God's angry with you? A life like that just produces peace. That produces holiness. That produces a rest in your mind that you cannot describe. Amen. Now, there's a scripture that's not in the notes, that I would like to just read from Hosea, from the Message translation. I think this is very applicable to people in South Africa and to all of us here. From verse 1, it says, "When Israel was only a child, I loved him. I called out my son, called him out of Egypt. But when others called him, he ran off and left me. He worshipped the popular sex gods and played at religion with toy gods. Still I stuck with him. I led Ephraim. I rescued him from human bondage. But he never acknowledged my help. Never admitted that I was the one pulling his wagon. That I lifted him like a babe to my cheek. That I bent down to feed him. Now he wants to go back to Egypt or over to Assyria. Anything but return to me. That's why the cities are unsafe, the murder rate skyrockets, and every plan to improve things falls to pieces. My people are hell-bent on leaving me." Now, that sounds condemning and everything, but this is what I want to say. And this shows who God is. "My people are hell-bent on leaving me. They pray to God Baal for help. He doesn't lift a finger to help them. But how can I give up on you, O Ephraim? How can I turn you loose, Israel? How can I leave you to be ruined like Admah, devastated like luckless Zeboam? I can't bear to even think such thoughts. My inside turns in protest. And so I am not going to act on my anger. I'm not going to destroy Ephraim. And why? And this is the most beautiful part. Because I am God and not a human. I am the Holy One and I am here in your very midst."
Amen.
Man, isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's the good news. You know, the gospel of Jesus is not about how much you must love God.
Right.
It's not about how much you must love your neighbor or even love yourself.
Right.
It's all about how much God loves us.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And what I've seen in churches, we've made this thing about faith. You know, we must have this great faith to try to push into something so that God can do something for us.
Yeah.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Faith is not something you do to get God to do something
That's
for you.
Right.
Faith is something that happens to you when you realize what God has done for you.
That's right. Awesome. Come on.
Faith is effortless.
That's right.
Faith is like fear. Who goes to 5 lessons in how to fear? Well, you know, they murder people at the robots, they steal your cars, they pull out a gun and they put it to your head and you don't know how to fear. Because I've never had a lesson. Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, no. Fear comes naturally if you just get the right information.
That's right.
Then you find fear in your heart.
Oh, that's right.
So we don't have to try to work up faith.
Come on, man.
Faith has become this big law that is just getting everybody to fall back into works. And it produces death and devastation in the lives of people. And the very thing that our hearts cry out to becomes our enemy.
That's right.
A relationship with God. Because the channel is, work up this high faith. You don't need great faith. You just need the right type of faith.
Yeah.
That's all. And the right type of faith is believing what God has done for us. Believing that He's good.
Yeah.
Amen. And that comes easily. That comes by simply hearing the truth.
Amen.
Now, like what Arthur said, you know, there's a difference between the Word and the Scriptures. Out of the Scripture, you can prove that if somebody's caught in adultery, you must kill that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can say, but the Bible says.
That's right.
And I can read it. And I can prove my doctrine. And I can say it's been inspired by the Holy Spirit written down. But what's the Word of God on it?
That's right.
Jesus was called the Word of God.
That's right.
And when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, she was placed before Jesus, and we could hear what the Scripture says, and we could hear what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Come on, then.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God never condemned her.
Yeah.
So the Word of God is always a word of no condemnation.
Amen.
If it's a word of condemnation, it's not a word of God. The Bible says God is love and God is the Word. And if it's not a word of love, it's not the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's get into what I want to say today. Amen. We're going to talk about being born of God. And I like what Arthur says, and what I say, and what I'm going to say, I don't want you to confuse it with what he says, because I'm going to talk about the different types of people. The focus is on manifestation. What manifests in your life. I'm not talking about your spiritual birth from God. I'm talking about the man that manifests today. The holy man that lives today. Is that holy man born of God? Or is he born of the willpower? Or what is he born of? Where does he come from? Because you can find two holy people. The one's born from God and the other one's not. That's it. I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, the first thing that I want to say is that the faith that we need in order to be righteous, there's a certain type of faith. It's not the faith that God will do stuff for us. It is a different faith. It's not a faith that says, and I've seen it so many times in my life, that there was a big thing that I had to get out of my mind, that is to believe God for things. I believe God for a new car. I believe God for a house. I believe God for this, and I believe God for that. Now, this might shock you a bit, but I don't believe we believe God for things. Faith is not directed towards stuff. It's directed towards who a person is. Faith is not for things. The word faith and the word for doesn't go together. The word faith and the word in goes together. I believe in who God is. And who He is, out of who He is, and the revelation of who He is, there's an expectation that comes into my heart. And I rest in that. Amen. And I tell you, we've seen great results that way. And doesn't produce death. Just trust God for who He is. That He is good to sinners. That's the faith we need. We're going to read that. Open your Bibles with me in Romans. You see, if God only loves those that love Him, what is He different to a sinner?
That's right.
Because sinners does the same. God loves sinners. Romans chapter 4. And every time I read this scripture, it's as if it's brand new.
Hallelujah.
This is so powerful. Romans chapter 4 verse 5. It says, but to him that works not. Now this talks about seeking justification by your works and what you do for God. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly.
Come on, yeah.
His faith is counted for righteousness.
Yeah.
The faith that says God blesses the righteous And if I do everything right, then God will bless me. That faith is not counted for righteousness. The faith that says that God justifies the ungodly, that faith is counted for righteousness. Now you might say, but Batty, we can't preach that to sinners. Now who must you preach it to?
That's right.
Because, you know, that's just going to be a license to sin. Let me tell you something, and I know so many times when we hear this good news, there's something going in our mind, but what about a license to sin? Is this not a license to sin? If we understand grace, we understand for the first time that grace is our license to righteousness.
Amen.
And the law, sin, uses the law as a license to sin and to death. So if you hate sin, you will get rid of seeking to be justified by what you do for God. And you will say, I love holiness and righteousness. The only thing is, under the law, righteousness is demanded, and under grace it's given.
Yeah.
Amen. Right, so, the faith that says God justifies the ungodly, that faith is counted for righteousness. And the moment you receive that righteousness, you find a change coming into your life as a result of what you've received as a gift.
Right.
You don't try to change. You know, so many times we think that when we come into our relationship with God, the first thing that He wants for us is to change. Now, you know, I've got a beautiful wife. But if her vision, when we got married, was to change me, I'm not going to get married to her. She could say, Bert, you know, I love you just the way you are. But I've got long suffering and I'm willing to keep up for 10 years. But then you must start a change, boy. You know what? I will say there's something wrong.
That's right.
You love me the way I am. And I love you the way you are. If you stay the way you are forever, that's fine.
Come on now.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's why many people don't want to receive the gospel that's preached. Or they don't want to hear of Jesus. Because they feel in their heart, all that He's interested in is changing me.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Change is not God's vision for your life. It's not God's vision for your life. And it should not be the vision of leaders to get their people to change.
Right.
The vision that we have and God's vision is so that people can see the unconditional love of God and believe that. And if that does not produce a change in their life, nothing will ever change them.
Right. Amen.
My vision is not a change. My vision is then to see how much God loves me and enjoy my life.
That's right.
Well, that's a fleshly vision. That's a holy vision. That's from God. Amen. It produces all the fruit of the Spirit. You feel peace in your heart. You feel righteousness in your heart. You feel that God loves you. You feel accepted. And out of that, you find a change of life.
Right.
And if I look at my relationship with Helena, she comes out of... Her background is like the opera house and the ballets and all of that. My dad was a mechanic. We overhauled engines and fixed gearboxes and, you know, I could tell you the different oils by just smelling them. That's it. And if she tried to, you know, when I met her, I couldn't see anything good in somebody trying to sing an opera. Can't they sing a normal voice? I mean, it's like that everybody can hear it, you know? And she could never understand why would somebody, you know, would like to get on a motorbike and just open that thing up as wide as what he can.
Hallelujah.
You know? That adrenaline rush that when you stop, you thank God you're alive. That type of thing. What's in it? But if she tried to change that, and if I tried to change her, it wouldn't have worked. But we're married now for 14 years. In 14 years, I've started to like the ballet. And she's going on the motorbike with me.
Hallelujah.
But that was not the vision. That's not the vision. If that's the vision, we're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
You must change today. No. Let love have its work. Let God's nature work in you. Amen. Have enough time to receive the love of God, to experience the love of God, to experience the message of no condemnation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that the faith that says God justifies the ungodly, that faith is counted for righteousness. Now do you know there's a difference between the word justify and righteousness? Justification and righteousness are not the same thing. There's a difference. Righteousness, now in the statement that I've made, righteousness means to stand as you ought to stand before God. But justification is the blessing that manifests because of your right standing in your life. That's how I see it. That's justified. In Afrikaans, for those of you who understand Afrikaans, it is geregtigheid en om geregverdig te wees. That which is just and right. You can be in jail and have the right to not to be there. Like say you're in jail and there was a court case and you're not guilty. Do you know that you are righteous not to be there?
That's right.
But you might still be in that cell. And you have not yet been justified. The thing that must happen to you because of your righteousness has not yet manifested. Now, it says the faith that says that God justifies the ungodly. The ungodly is counted for righteousness. The man that can say, even if I have done nothing good for God, I'll be blessed today because of who God is. That faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I'm always blessed. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 12. Amen. Now, just want to lay a foundation of where it comes from to say, I receive from God. I'm righteous before God. I'm justified before God. It's because when you believe, let me put it this way. If you walk from here to Cape Town, you might get there. But it's going to take a very long time. But I think, especially when you go through the Karoo in summer, and it's 45, you're not going to make it. If somebody stops with a car next to you, and is merciful to you, and he gives you a lift, you're going to make it much quicker on the mercy of another man than your own ability.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. You'll reach righteousness much quicker on the mercy of God than your own works. Because your own works cannot make you righteous. But God's mercy will get you there much quicker. So receive it, man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now that word, but as many as received Him, that word receive means to grab a hold of with a purpose to make use of.
Yes.
Now you've been in this conference, you've heard the good news now. Now let's grab a hold of with a purpose to make use of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm righteous by what Jesus has done for me. I'm going to use that now.
Amen.
Tomorrow I sin or do something wrong. Now I must grab a hold of with a purpose to make use of what God has done. And now I'm not going to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. I've heard the word that I'm righteous. Now tomorrow I do something wrong, I'm not now not a doer of the word anymore. I'm a doer of the word. I'm righteous, hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture in James means.
Yes.
To be a doer of the word of God. So many times we read James chapter 1, we say, well, we must be a doer of the word. Then we think of the law.
Yeah.
Not a doer of the law, it's a doer of the word.
Yeah.
Of no condemnation. Hallelujah. I'm a doer of the word, of no condemnation. So when condemnation comes, and when I've done something where the law would condemn me, I say, no ways.
That's right.
I'm the righteousness of God. Ask God. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
One guy once said to me, Bertie, what you preach is so good, it could only be true. Then we would have been free. It is the truth.
Amen.
Amen. But as many as grabbed a hold of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He became a human being representing me and you, that He obeyed on my behalf.
That's right.
Now that's powerful.
Come on now.
He obeyed on my behalf.
Wow. Yes.
So when I come before God, I know I'm 100% obedient.
Amen.
And the chance that I've got to receive is the same chance as what Jesus has.
That's right.
Because I'm 100% obedient.
Yes.
Sure. That's it.
Come on.
Next scripture for that, I'll read it now. Hallelujah. If we grab a hold of Him, who is He? Matthew 1 says, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." See, if you grab a hold of Him, of who He is, what He stands for, His obedience on my behalf, His death on my behalf, His resurrection on my behalf. Now, the other day I was at a bike rally, and the one guy, now this is what I'm going to say is radical, so please bear with me. And I'm not condoning sin, but just hear what I said to this guy and what it produced in his life. He came to me and he said to me, "You know, preacher," and now he had a couple of whiskeys already. And he said, "If you want to get me saved today, it's going to be very difficult." And then I was just chatting to him and he said to me, "Why don't you condemn me for drinking whiskey?" I said, "Because I'm born from the man who made more wine after it was finished at the wedding." The wine's not the issue. You are the issue.
That's right.
I'm more interested in you than in what you drink.
Yeah. Amen.
Because what you drink I can go and buy. But you are valuable to God. And then I said, "Do you know what? I've got news for you. It's not your sin that makes you a sinner."
That's right.
You just met this guy's eyes just big like this.
That's right.
I mean, he's a biker that drinks. It's not your sin that makes you a sinner. I said, "Do you know what? It's not your obedience that makes you righteous."
That's right.
That's right.
He said, "Man, can I get some of your messages?" I said, "Yes." And I shared. He said, "Please come to my house." Now, he lives in another town. He said, "Please come to my house after this rally and speak to me more about the Lord Jesus."
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That is what people want to hear.
Yeah.
For I believe, when Adam sinned, the inclination for sin was born into man. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, there was a natural thing inside everybody that cries for freedom, free from our works.
Come on, brother.
Absolutely.
That's why when you go and preach your son, he preaches this good news message, he opens his heart for it.
Yes. Right.
Now what we can do is, if we can come to the place where we say, "I grab a hold of Jesus to truly make use of Him." In other words, what has He done for the world? And I grab a hold of that, I start to see the world the way God sees the world. You paid for the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yep.
Now, did He do His work or not?
Yes.
He did. So what do? We go and do what Acts 13:38 says. He says, behold, Paul preached to people that weren't even saved. He said, "Behold, today I preach unto you the forgiveness of sins." That you were... Now, I'm going to just change the word a little bit there. That through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is preached unto you, and that you were justified from everything the law of Moses finds you guilty on. In other words, the law comes and finds you guilty. Say, don't bless. Jesus says, blessing.
Amen.
Blessing. Because of the obedience of Jesus on our behalf. Okay? Now, we're talking about being born again. But as many as received Him with a purpose to make use of Him. In other words, grab a hold of with a purpose to make use of Him. To them He gave the authority or the power to receive the being of God. That's it. So when you come to a place where you say, "I grab a hold of what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. That He obeyed on my behalf, that He died on my behalf, that He was resurrected on my behalf, and everything that is accompanied in His return is for me." When you grab a hold of that, you receive power and the very being of God. Now listen, if you take a dog and you give it 5 lessons to meow like a kitten, it's going to struggle. You're going to struggle because it's a dog. It's not going to get it right. In the same way, to teach a sinner to live righteous, it's impossible.
That's right.
He's going to sin. And don't be upset if somebody, if a sinner sins.
That's right.
That's what he does.
Right.
And don't condemn him for everything he's done wrong. Bring him a gospel that can give him the very being of God. And once he's received the being of God, it will be as easy for him to live holy as what it was for him to sin.
That's right.
Living holy comes naturally to people that are holy.
Amen.
Amen. So don't be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now it goes on, it says, even to them that believe on His name. Now that word believe, I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, there's a difference between the word believe and the word faith. The word faith means to be persuaded of something. And the word believe is the result of that persuasion in your heart. So when you hear, if you want to go and buy a car, now you go, you want to buy a car, you look at the car, different cars. You get information about these cars. And as you get information about these cars, all of a sudden there will be a point where you feel persuaded to buy a certain car. Okay. Now you're looking at a Mazda and a Ford and a Toyota and a Mercedes and a this and that. You're looking at everything. And you come to the place where you say, okay, I want to buy this Mazda. Why? Because I've taken all the facts into consideration. The fact that it's light on fuel, that it's reliable, that it's not that costly, everything. And once you've put everything in place, you find the result of that is persuasion in your heart that that's what you want. And that's what you must have. Then you buy the car. And as you drive from one town to another town, you rest your mind in all those facts. And that's called the word belief. Is to rest your mind. Now what it says here, it says, to those that rest their mind in Jesus, in His name, in His being, is given the being of God. They are born of God. Those that rest their minds in who God is, they receive the being of God. And I'm talking about manifestation in this life. Amen. Right. Now it says there, to trust, the other word for believe is trust. It means to rest your mind in the integrity, veracity, friendship, and sound principle of another person. When you believe God is when you rest your mind in His integrity. Now He's a God of integrity. He's not going to say one thing today and tomorrow do another thing.
That's right.
You know, there's a teaching that I don't like. This teaching of the desert.
Oh yes.
God taking you into the desert to build relationship and to purify you. As if the blood of Jesus was not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, if I drive in my car and we stop in Douglas. Now you know Douglas becomes like 45 degrees Celsius in summer. And I tell my wife, just check something here. I don't use integrity. I think the tire's flat. Just have a look there on your side. She gets out and I close the door and lock it. Now she stands in the desert. And then I just keep her there. To see if she's faithful.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, I just keep her right there. You. And she's, oh, my husband. You know, and she's just faithful that she's, her beautiful skin is in the sun and she's just, the heat's there, she's sweating, dust, wind, everything in the desert. Somebody else comes and says, what are you doing? What's happening here? No, I'm building a relationship. I'm building a relationship. It's going to go well, you know. We're really getting close. I'm purifying her sitting there in my aircon car.
Come on now. You're preaching.
And then just as nightfall comes, I just before she dies, you've passed the test. you qualify to get into the car. Guess what? If I do that, it's over. Finished. You don't do that. If we would drive after that somewhere and you get below 100, she will get shaky. He's going to stop.
He's going to stop.
He's going to let me. We drive with flat tires, but I'm not getting out of this car. And there will be fear. And you can't build a constant, a stable relationship with acts like that.
Yes.
Because we cannot, and that's the thing that happens in our relationship with God. We get teachings and doctrines that tells us about a God that's not good to us. That is not a God of integrity, so we can't rest our mind in His integrity because what we've heard about Him does not promote integrity. It does not promote integrity. Well, if you don't give to me, I will not give to you. That's not integrity. He gave His Son for free.
That's it.
Hallelujah. And what I've seen as leaders, listen people, I'm just going to speak out of my heart. What I've seen as leaders is when it comes to finances, we are so scared. God will provide everything, but the money will squeeze it out of the people. No. Rest your mind in God as a God of integrity. He's given His Son as a gift because you're valuable to Him. Maybe you don't look valuable. If you take a very well-known painter, say one of the best in the world that's died long ago, and you can find one of his paintings today that has not even been finished and full of mud and can be authenticated as a genuine one, do you know what it will go for? It will go for millions. Not because of how it looks, but because of who painted it. Amen. So let's rest our mind in the integrity of God. He made me. I'm valuable to Him. He's not going to turn funny on me. Well, I've given you my Son now, so that's enough. What more do you want now? Huh? No. He will always love you. He's not going to change. You know the scripture in Isaiah 54 where it says, look at the mountains. They will be removed. My covenant of peace will not be removed from you. Know what the word peace means in the Greek language? It's the word prosperity.
Yes.
Now I said, God, why does it say prosperity? And this is what I felt the Lord said to me. It's the emotion that comes into the heart of a person. Peace is the emotion that comes into the heart of a person when he knows all his debts are paid.
Yeah, that's right.
That's peace.
That's right.
I don't owe God anything.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't owe prayer. I don't owe fasting. I don't have to pay with how many people get saved.
Come on now.
I don't have to pay with a holy life. There's no payment. He paid it all. And He gave it to me as a gift.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So now, when we believe that, when we come and rest our mind in the integrity of God, then we find that there's a certain type of character and person that is coming forth in our lives. You know, if I work for somebody, but I know this guy doesn't like me, and I know today is like this and tomorrow is like that, it's going to produce something in my life that works for him. But if I know he's stable and he's good and everything, it will also produce something in my life. Now that which is produced is born out of who that boss is. So, if I look at who God is, and I come to a place where I can rest my mind in His integrity, that will produce certain characteristics and things in your life.
Yes.
And that's what I call born of God.
That's right.
It comes forth out of who God is, and out of what you believe about God. Amen. So let's rest our minds in the integrity of God. But make sure that the gospel that you preach, or the message that you preach, the message that you listen to, it is promoting integrity.
Yeah.
Mm. One day a guy said to me, you know Bertie, you know, and I started to share the good news with him. He was also a pastor and he was offended because of this message of grace. You know, because I grabbed the whole of this message to make use of it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So he said to me, I said to him, you know, God has forgiven the sins of the world. But those who believe it, they receive it for themselves. But from God's perspective, He's paid for the sins of the world.
Right.
He said to me, no. You must first confess, then God will forgive you. Otherwise, He's keeping it against you. So I read 1 John chapter 2 and looked at it. I said, and you know, about 2 weeks after that, somebody, they broke into my house. You know? I said, are you unspiritual that they broke into your house? The Bible says that, yeah, something's wrong, got hidden sin or something. You know, you know why they break in? Because this is the world. Yeah. And there's thieves here. Jesus says, don't put your money where thieves break in and steal. They steal here. This is not heaven. Okay. So, the thief was just working his business. So he stole. So I went to the pastor of that. I said, you know what? I'm not going to forgive that man. He said to me, you will forgive him because you're on the leadership of this church. I said, I'm not going to forgive him. He must first confess. I'm not better than God. He must first confess his sin. And if he confesses his sin, then I'll forgive him. But if he does not confess his sin, and I'm not forgiving him, I'm not my Father in heaven. I only do what I see God do. He was steaming and he was upset. So I said, but that's not it. When I see him tomorrow in the street and a car hits him and he's just like half crippled and there comes a truck to finish him off, I'm not going to help him. Because my hands are chopped off because he's got unconfessed sin. He can cry for help. But there's a separation between us. He's unconfessed. And then what I'll do is I will teach my children's children to persecute and murder his family until the third and fourth generation. Amen. I'm like God. Hallelujah. And those that don't love me for who I am, I'll kill them as well. I'm a God of love. People like that act like that, belongs in jails. They mad. God's not like that. But what happens is that's what we heard from pulpits all our lives. That's what we've been thinking of God. And then we must now trust Him. You can't trust a person like that. God has designed you to run away from somebody like that.
That's right.
Now what's happening now is people are committed to God, they stick to God, they stick to church and all those things, but in their hearts they are running away, but with their willpower they are staying.
That's good.
And that man that stays there is not born of God, he's born out of the willpower of a man. He's praying, he's fasting, he's doing everything, and everything is holy, everything looks right, but it's born out of the willpower of a man. It's religion. The Bible says, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden. And the Greek says, come to me all you that are overburdened with the practicalities of religion. And I, who I am, who God is, will give you rest.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, man. Hallelujah. That says there that another meaning of trust. Trust is to rest your mind in integrity, veracity. The word veracity means habitual observance of truth. So we must come to a place we can also rest. This is believing God. If you want to see a man manifesting in your life that's born of God, a holy man that lives inside you, that comes from God, that comes forth as a result when you can rest your mind in God's habitual observance of Jesus concerning you. God by habit looks at Jesus when it comes to you. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that, man, that's the good news. And if we can rest our mind.
Come on now.
Your mind says, no, but it can't be. My mind, I'm going to meditate upon the finished work of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to meditate upon He obeyed on my behalf.
Hallelujah.
I tell you that Romans 5:19, I read it so many times. Through the disobedience of one man, Adam, many were made sinners. In the same way, by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it until my mind starts to find a place where it's resting.
Yes.
Because God habitually observes Jesus when it comes to me. And there's one thing I also want to say in this, that you should not be mistaken concerning this. When he observes Jesus, he looks at what he has done for you and how holy you are because of Jesus.
Yes,
and if I come home and I tell my wife, we're getting people just for coffee quickly, and I see there's some dishes, can you just wash them for us quickly? We're going to sit in the kitchen and just have a cup of coffee with them. And I call them in, we go to the kitchen and there's the dishes. Not washed. And she says to me, I said to her, why didn't you wash dishes? She said, no, it's clean. I said, it's not clean, man. Look at it. If you just take the dishwashing liquid and just look through it, you'll see it as clean. God's not looking through the blood of Jesus to see you clean. He has washed you. Amen. God's not deceived. You are clean through the blood of Jesus. And if you think that He only sees you as clean, you will walk like a dirty person that is seen as clean by somebody else. But you will believe you're dirty.
That's right.
No, no. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We rest our mind in who God is and what He's done for us. And we are born of the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
As He is, so are we in this world. Amen. And you can grab a hold of that with a purpose to make use of it. Amen. He habitually observes the truth. The truth is no consciousness of sin. God by habit, just the way He is, naturally, is not conscious of your sins. We must realize that God did a million times bigger thing with Jesus, in Jesus, than what Satan could ever do in Adam. Amen. Now this is a nice one. We can believe also means to rest your mind in the friendship of another person. A friend, according to Webster's, is somebody that's willing to entertain another until he desires his presence. What is a friend? A friend is somebody that is willing to entertain another person until that person desires his presence. If you're still not desiring from the depth of your being the presence of God, you haven't been entertained enough by what He's done for you. Hallelujah. Now this might sound full of pride. You know what I do? I take my own CDs and listen to it.
Yeah.
Because I know it's good news.
Yeah.
The other guy, I don't know if he's preaching grace. But I know I preach grace.
Yeah. There you go.
And I remember which message I preached when. And I know that when I feel a bit depressed or something, I put that one in and I listen to that message of grace and I see how God has entertained me with what He's done in Jesus Christ by giving me everything for free. By loving me. Amen. Herein is the love of God. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as a sacrifice for us. Herein is the love of God, that He gave His Son so that we can live through Him. Herein is the love of God. Let's take this. If I had a glass here with water, but it doesn't matter. If you take a glass, you'll say, herein is water. In this glass. Therein is the water. It's in that glass. Herein is the love of God. Now I want to just come to the final thing of that verse is that we live through Him. You don't know what it is to be loved until you come to a place where you can say, I stand before God in the obedience of Jesus. You know what it is to feel love before you can come to a place where you say, I'm righteous, free from my works, and I believe it with all my heart. That's where you experience love. Love is not just if somebody gives you something. Love is the emotion that comes into the heart of a person that flows out of that revelation of what He's done for you. And you're experiencing righteousness free from your works. Righteousness being born of God. Now this also says that the person that can rest his mind in the integrity, veracity and friendship of God towards you in what Jesus has done for you, the man that will manifest out of that will be a holy man. And if my wife is good to me, I'm not thinking of another woman. I'm not. I'm thinking of her. I'm not married to her today. We married 14 years. I'm not married to her because I've made a commitment years ago, before a pulpit, that said, well, I promise to be faithful to her. That's not what's keeping this together. What's keeping it together is the love we have for each other. Love is much stronger than your ability to keep to a commandment. Your ability to try and keep to a commandment can never produce the holiness and the commitment and the stability and the nature of God than what love can do.
That's right.
Love is much greater. And love is this, that He did it for me.
Hallelujah.
That's love. Hallelujah. It says, let's read the verse again, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, or to receive the being of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. That means you can be born of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. That means you can be born of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. That means you can be born of the will of man. But of God. You know, so many times the holy person that you see, I'm not talking about your spirit in relationship to God. I'm talking about the manifested man. The pastor, the husband, who you manifest. That manifested man. What is he born of? Where does he find his origin? Does he find his origin in fear? Because he must obey commandments. Paul said, the man that I am now, it's not I that live. So Paul was a holy man. There was a time when he was holy. And a good, righteous guy. According to the law, without blame. Holy, but it was Paul living. It was Paul obeying commandments, and now Paul lives. Do you know what repentance from your sins does not save you?
Right.
Yes, they're still. Repentance from your sins does not save you. If you preach at a crusade to tell people repent from your sins, they repent from all the wrong they do. They can come and they do everything right. Do you know what who they are? They are people living right going to hell. Because they just repented from their sins. Repentance from sins does not save you. What saves you is, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
When you have believed on what Jesus has done, you find salvation. So, you can preach repentance of sins. That man leaves his drinking, he leaves his adultery and everything because he must do it, for the Bible says he must, and he does it, and a holy man comes forth, a holy man lives, a holy man tithes in your church and does everything, but he's born out of his own willpower. Not born of God. It's true. Maybe you say, oh God, am I born of you? What am I born of? It's a good question to ask. Because you can come to a place you say, Lord, I don't want to have this holy life again because I live holy because that's what the congregation demands from me. I live holy because the Bible says, thou shalt be holy as God is holy. And we read all the commandments and now we try to do it. And out of trying to do that, we find holiness. Or a form of godliness coming into our lives. But that's not from God. That's not as a result of the revelation of what Jesus has done. It's not as a result of resting your mind in the integrity, veracity and friendship that God has with you. The man that comes forth out of that is born of God. You know, I want to say that there was a time when I repented of my sins at a crusade. And then there was a time when I became born of God. I repented from my sins because the guy said, you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to live right and start to be a dynamic Christian and do that. And I did that. And there was power to do that. But then there was a time when Ed started to share the gospel of grace with me. And I found all of a sudden a release. I found a holy man coming forth. I found compassion for people. It was not born out of the Bible says you must have compassion for people. I find when I pray for the sick, it's not to advertise my ministry. Yes, that's an evil thing. I want to just say this. You know, the Bible says that many believed in Jesus because of the miracles. And then another, the next verse says, but he did not commit himself to them. Because tomorrow, if that same person that was healed becomes sick again, then they don't want to follow Jesus anymore. They were born out of a miracle they saw. They never saw the revelation and believed like Peter did. Now, I'm not against miracles. Wherever we go, we see miracles. But you can't find your identity in a miracle, man.
No. Preach it, brother.
I've been in the crusade with Steve. There was a guy with syphilis. So I prayed for him. He had pain. He was standing there like you could see the pain on his face. I prayed for him. He got healed. I don't even remember that time. He ran off. Shouting. I asked the one guy, what's happening? He said, he's healed and he's shouting he's going to get a woman right now if he hasn't been with a woman for a very long time. You remember that, Steve? Miracle doesn't save you. A miracle does not produce the way a revelation of the love of God can produce in your life. Amen. I tell you, in the gospel you see many things. Preaching the gospel. The man that preaches just right, that just sweats at the right time, that bends over at the right time with the right suit and everything is just the way the TV preacher does it, is that born out of what's that born? It looks right. But where's the origin of that? Where's the origin? If I'm excited here and I preach, and is to impress anybody here, it's born out of, I want to impress somebody. It looks right. But the origin is not of God. But when we come to a place, now you might say, Bertie, oh, you see, you know, how am I going to get it right? Get that out of your mind. The only thing is, God, I want to know what Jesus done that I can rest my mind.
That's it.
I want to rest my mind. When it comes to my financial future, I want to rest my mind in what Jesus has done.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't want to rest my mind in what I've done for God. I want to rest my mind in what God has done for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Saying, thank you, Jesus. You've died for me. You've obeyed on my behalf. You've died on my behalf. You resurrected into newness of life. I identify 100% with you. It was on behalf of me. When you died, I died. Do you know the death of Jesus? How he died? So many times talk about the old man. I want to just say who the old man, what the old man is. The old man is not your own old sinful man. The old man is the man that related to God through the law. Jesus was a man born under the law. And to obey the law on your behalf. Okay? And he did that for us and he fulfilled the law. He did the law for us. The Bible says the law will, heaven and earth will pass away. But the law will not pass away till it is fulfilled. But the verse before that, Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law.
Yeah.
Okay? So what I was actually saying is there's nobody that will be able to do the law until I come. So I'll do it for you. And once it's done, it's finished, because he fulfilled the law and the prophets. How do you fulfill a prophecy? If it comes into being, it's gone.
That's right.
You don't look at the prophecy anymore. It's finished.
Yep.
In the same way, he said nobody could fulfill or do the law. So he did the law for us. And once he's done it, it's gone. And when he died as that man born under the law. So that there is no more man under the law. That relates to God from the perspective of under the law. And when he was raised, he was the first begotten from the dead. And he had his life and his origin of life out of the Holy Spirit that indwells him. So who are we? When the old man died, that man that, I mean the old men, man, the man that related to Jesus or to the Father by the law, they lived a holy life. Jesus said, your holiness must exceed the holiness of the Pharisees. So they had a holiness, they had a righteousness. But ours had to exceed. So there's a man that prays right, that does everything right, but he's born of the law. He's born of Moses. He's not born of God. Now as you've heard what Arthur said, and you start to look at the rock, you start to look at those things, you will find, because that's the truth, you'll find the manifestation of that truth in your life. And that man that's born out of that, is born of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, how difficult is it to get it right? Why do you want to get it right? You don't have to try to get it right. I'm talking about a fruit of something. It's something that happens to you. Like faith happens to you. In the same way, righteousness happens to you. It's a timer. You never showed me. Okay. Sorry. I said you must show me in 10 minutes. So I was just hammering it away. Sorry. Let's finish this. Born of the will of the flesh, being a man, you are, because of efforts to obey the law in order to please God. It goes with this teaching of behavior modification. You know, our teachings as preachers should not be to modify people's behavior. Their belief must be modified by portraying the truth of Jesus. Born of the will of a man is finding your identity in your sincerity and will to be godly. Now I really want to serve God, and God's looking at my heart, you know, that type of thing. Born of God is identity in what He has done on your behalf as a result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah.